Good morning. Again, this is Wendy from WLS Success Matters. Welcome to our Saturday morning phone support group. We do these calls twice a month. So we do it the first Saturday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. And then we do it the third Thursday of every month at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Right? So every first Saturday and every third Thursday. Saturdays are in the morning and Thursdays are in the evening. So glad to see so many of you here. And again, I do appreciate your patience this morning. My first question is, why are you here? Besides the obvious, right? Tell me, why are you here? Anybody?
Okay, I'll speak up. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Tell me, why are you here?
Well, I'm set for my surgery on this coming week, this Friday the 9th.
All right.
And I'm super nervous. I don't know what to expect.
Everybody
I don't know how it's going to be afterwards. So I'm hoping maybe I can get some insight as to, you know, post-op, you know, and from there on out. And, you know, should I prepare for anything hurting beforehand? You know, I don't know what to expect.
Okay, perfect. We're going to talk about creating change today. So the first hour of our calls is a standard support group with a topic. And we'll cover a bunch of things that are going to be very important for you. And then the last 30 minutes, I stay on the call for an additional 30 minutes, and then we open it up to any topic that you want to discuss. So I would encourage you to stay with us through the entire call so that I can answer some specific questions for you related to being a pre-op patient and what to expect.
Okay.
So stick with us, okay, Debbie?
Sure.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing. So we've got a pre-op patient who's nervous. That's why she's here. Great. Who else? Why are you here today?
Kimberly Strauss.
Kimberly, hello. Why are you with us today?
Yes, I am just curious as to what other people will be asking and see what their answers and things are.
Okay. Are you a weight loss surgery patient or planning to be?
Emergency.
Fast track.
Emergency fast track, so you are going to be having weight loss surgery?
Yeah, the 21st of this month, but instead of waiting for the 6 months meetings and everything I have to go through, they're going to do it. This will be the second month after they
diagnose. Well, good for you.
Okay. Yep.
Good for you, and it sounds like you have someone there with you, so you're educating people around you, which is great, so important. You do not have to do it
alone. Yeah, this is my husband of 40 years.
There you go. Great support right there with you. Excellent.
Yep.
Well, welcome.
Yep.
Glad to have you with us.
Okay.
Anybody else? Why are you here? We got two pre-op patients. I love it.
Hi, this is Benika Law, and I'm also planning to have my surgery at the first of the year, so I'm calling to just hear and get more information.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Benika. Glad to have you here. We got a lot of pre-offers. Exciting. Between now and March, there's a real big trend typically annually to see a lot of pre-op patients going through the process between now and March. So it's very exciting, very exciting. Congrats to all of you guys that are here because you are sitting in the place of a pre-op patient and all the unknowns are in your head running around. I get it. I didn't mention it at the beginning, but I had weight loss surgery in March 23rd of 2009, and I am one half of WLS Success Matters. Sandy, the other half of WLS Success Matters, had weight loss surgery, I want to say 13 years ago, maybe 14. It's been so long, I sometimes forget. So Sandy and I are both long-term weight loss surgery patients. We've been doing this, WLS Success Matters, since 2013. So we are passionate about our own personal success and about giving back to our community and helping others with support and education and coaching. So you came to the right place. You're talking to patients. We call ourselves patient professionals, right? So glad to have everybody here. Is there anybody on the call who is currently a weight loss surgery patient, not sitting on the pre-op, but you are post-op?
Becky's here. That'll be 6 years
Becky,
next week.
Great.
Yeah.
As a post-op patient, why are you here today? Would you mind sharing?
Working on my behaviors, you know, it's always the good fight, so I just show up as much as I can.
I love it. So there you go. There's someone who's always working on behaviors, even as a post-op patient, and getting as much support and reminding and education that she can, right? So do you see the similarities there? Pre-op patient, post-op patient, different phases of the journey, but the reality is you're all looking for the same thing, right? Information, education, being supported, being heard, being understood, and being accepted for being who you are right now. And that's exactly why we do what we do. So today's topic is how do you create change? And I really want you guys to think about this one, and I hope you're out there taking notes. Because this is the important stuff, right? So how do you create change? What do you think? What kind of change are we trying to create by being weight loss surgery patients? Anybody?
Behavioral.
Behavioral. Okay.
Yep.
A healthy change.
Health. Did you say health?
Healthy. A healthy change.
Healthy change. There you go. Perfect. What else?
I think it's a mental change as well.
Mental change.
Yeah.
Oh. There's a lot of you out there. Let's keep hearing them. How do you create change? What kind of change are we trying to create?
Feeling better.
A positive change.
Positive change. I heard somebody else out there too.
Feeling better about yourself.
Feeling better. Feeling
yep.
better. Did I hear you right?
Yep. Feeling better about yourself.
Aha. I like to call that self-confidence.
Yep, right.
What is it? Self-confidence. There you go. What else? Lots of good ones. So I have
live
feeling
longer.
Better. Say that again.
Living longer.
Aha, extending your life, living longer. That's a big one, right?
Habits.
That is a big one. Say it again.
Habits and...
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Wait, my husband wrote one here. I can't see it.
Breaking them.
Okay, yeah, breaking habits. Okay, yes. Not to break them.
Habits. Yeah, changing habits. We like to say exchanging habits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's something you can swap out the breaking habits and replace it with exchanging habits.
Yep.
Right?
There you go.
Exchanging
yep.
habits. So we have some good ones. Building self-confidence. Feeling better, changing mentally. Being healthy. Behavioral changes. Positive changes. Feeling good about who you are. Habits. Living longer and extending your life. Those are lots of ways to create change, right? Changes that you want to have happen. So when I think about all that together, and I think, how do you create change? And one of the first things that I throw out there is weight loss, right? How do we
right.
create change? We are weight loss surgery patients, or we are people on the road to becoming weight loss surgery patients. The first two words there are weight loss, right? So
yep.
you believe, and or your surgeon believes with you together, that by going through a surgical procedure, whatever one you may be having, right, there's gastric bypass, there's vertical sleeve, there's duodenal switch, there's lap band, and there's a variety of combinations within those, right? Some people have a band over their bypass. Some people revise from a VSG to an RNY. Some people revise from a lap band to an RNY. some people revise from an RNY to a DS, right? So there's all kinds of ways that those surgeries happen to lead to weight loss, correct?
Correct.
So what do you think? How do you create change to lose weight? What's the first thing that comes on top of your head? How do I create change to lose weight? Ask yourself that question, and then give me your answer.
How do I create pain?
Yeah, how do you create
pain? I can't hear you. Can you speak up?
I'll be adding in exercising.
Exercising. Okay, I heard that. Exercising, that's a good one. What else? How do you create change for weight loss? We got one. Let's hear more.
The way you eat.
The way you eat. Tell me about that. What's that mean when you think about that, the way you eat? What does that involve, you think, for you?
Smaller portions, better choices, reading labels.
Perfect. There you go. Smaller portions, reading labels, and what you eat, right? Good. What else? We're hitting them all. I love it. Look, there's a couple more in there. How
sleeping.
Do you create change for
sleeping
weight
behavior.
Loss? Go ahead. Behavior. Give me an example. What type of behavior?
Sleeping.
Sleeping.
Getting enough sleep. Proper sleep.
Sleeping. Good. Got to get that rest. I like
yep.
it.
Keeping on a schedule.
A schedule.
Yep.
Perfect. What else, guys? How do you create change to create weight loss?
I know my number one thing that I know that is going to help me create my weight loss is my support from my family.
Yes. Amen.
Perfect. Support. Perfect. Perfect. I love it. Anything else that comes to mind? How do you create change for weight loss?
Prayers.
Did you say prayers?
Yes.
Prayers. Okay. Pray on it a bit. I like it. Anything else, guys?
Well, I tend to eat emotionally. So I'm trying to make sure that I have less stress in my lifestyle afterwards.
So reducing stress. Reducing stress. And let's also add to that acknowledging why you eat. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. There's some good ones. Anybody else have anything to add? Before?
Mental state of mind.
State of mind. What do you mean by that?
You have to have the right. You have to have the right state of mind to do anything. Really, that is worth doing.
Uh huh. Got it. State of mind. Okay, so I know we have several folks on the call that are pre-op patients, and I'm guessing we have at least more than one. I know we have one out there that's a post-op. There's probably a few more of you that are post-op. And your surgeon either will or already have provided you some type of outline, some type of guideline, some type of rules list on how to be successful as a weight loss surgery patient. Right? Again, those key words there, weight loss, right?
Yep.
So the first piece is how do you create change to lose weight? Everybody on this call has made the decision at some point in their life that they want to surgically alter their body, right? That's the first step. You make the choice that you need a surgical intervention. You need help.
right? You can no longer try to do this alone, and you're elected to have weight loss surgery. That's a big one. That's what unites us all, right? Doesn't matter where we live, what job we have, how much weight we, you know, how much we weigh, how much we have to lose or how little we have to lose, you know, our incomes, our skin color, our nationality, none of that matters, right? We are all weight loss surgery patients or soon to be. And we have surgical interventions to help us start that process, right? That's number one. So you're forever changed, right? As a weight loss surgery patient, you're going to create a whole new world. And I don't want you to take that lightly. I want that to be the umbrella that you stand under and realize that moving forward, your life is going to change dramatically in so many ways. And it's because you chose to become a weight loss surgery patient, right? So the first part is that, is becoming a weight loss surgery patient, making that decision to do it. A lot of what I heard, habits, mindset, behavioral change, schedules, reducing sleep, or reducing stress, getting more sleep, what you eat, when you eat it, why you eat it, right? So the next big way to create change for weight loss as a weight loss surgery person is what you eat. Right? Have you heard, what's the rule? What have you heard? What's the number one thing when it comes to what you eat that does not matter what type of weight loss surgery patient you are or will be? What's the number one rule that comes up around what you eat as a weight loss surgery patient? Anybody?
Protein. Protein is first.
Ah, I heard protein. Say it again.
Protein.
Protein. And typically you'll hear protein first.
Yes.
If you have not heard it, write it down. Tattoo it on your forehead. Protein first. That's how you create change. Do you know why? Anybody know why protein first is so important? Anybody?
Protein keeps you fuller longer. And
yes.
It gives you the nutrients.
Yes. Right. Very good. So protein keeps you fuller longer because it takes the body a long time to process and digest that protein. Right? And also that means you just need a little bit of it. So when you are going to be making a choice to eat, how do you create change for weight loss? You're going to pick protein first every time. How does that make you feel when you hear that as a pre-op patient? What do you think when you hear that?
Well, I think it's definitely different from my normal habits, but it's not something that I can't do because I'm focused on what my goal is.
And what is your goal?
To lose weight and be healthy.
Create change, right?
Yes.
There you go. I love that authentic answer, right? And I'm sitting here heading into 10 years post-op, she couldn't be more right. You know, you have committed to making the change, and when she said it's different, right? If we continue to do the same things we're doing before we have weight loss surgery, we do those same things after we have weight loss surgery. Is change going to happen?
No.
Remember that. No. So this is why It takes all the energy, all the power, all the support, all the education that you can get. And when you're 10 years post-op like me, or you're any place post-op like Becky who shared earlier, you still show up to these kinds of conversations because guess what? Change is hard. You get it?
Change is very hard.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but you heard the gal say that it's not something she can't do. So, you know what I would say? It's something I can do. Right?
Agree.
I can do that. I can pick protein first. It's different than what I typically do and what I've been doing. But I can do it. I want you to put that thought process in your head. The more I cans you have as you navigate this new lifestyle, and even if you're a long-term post-op person, the more I cans you have in your life, then the cannots is going to be a lot easier, right? So I can choose protein first. It's going to give me the satiety that I'm looking for. It's going to, and it's going to last a long time. Because my body needs time to process that protein. And it gives me the nutrients that I need to sustain my lifestyle. Okay? So that's protein first. Anybody have questions about protein first? So let me ask this question. When you think of protein first, what food do you think of?
Meat.
Eggs.
Peanut butter.
Eggs and somebody... So I heard three things. I heard eggs. I heard meat.
Meat, yep.
I heard peanut butter. Did somebody say peanut butter?
I said peanut butter.
Okay.
Because I have a hard time getting a lot of meat proteins in, so then I resort to a tablespoon of peanut butter.
Okay, we'll talk about that. I appreciate you being so authentic with your share.
Oh, okay.
So I heard eggs, meat, and peanut butter. Anything else?
My favorite is Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt, one of my favorites too.
Yeah, same brand, huh?
Yeah, Greek yogurt. Good. What else?
What about my shake?
So when I hear the word meat, that's a little too big and broad for me. Give me some examples of meat for protein.
Fish.
Chicken.
Salmon.
I heard fish. I heard chicken. What else?
Liver.
Liver?
Ew.
Oh, I love liver. Chicken and beef. That's
got
a good...
I heard beef.
Yep.
I use, very, very lean beef.
Lean beef?
Because I don't like chicken and fish.
Yeah.
Turkey's good.
Turkey? I heard turkey. Okay, so what I'm really excited about here is that everybody talked about real food. Really important. As a pre-op patient, there's a lot of buzz all over the place, everywhere you're looking. And as an immediate post-op patient, if you've looked at your food progression as a post-op patient, there's a lot of liquids in there. And as a pre-op patient, there might be a lot of liquids, and then you might, be bombarded with protein drinks and protein shakes and protein soups and protein bars and protein shots of this and protein shots of that, right? And it can be real easy to forget that you get to eat real food. So I'm excited for this group of people because we heard Greek yogurt, we heard eggs, we heard fish, we heard chicken, we heard liver, we heard lean beef, we heard turkey, and then we heard peanut butter. So peanut butter, so let me give you guys a sample of how I elect to choose protein first. For long-lasting satiety and for staying within a caloric range that your surgeon will provide you and meeting your protein goal that your surgeon will provide you, I have found a 10-to-1 ratio to work best. So when you're reading a label, you want to look at the calories and you want to look at the protein, right? When you're looking up stats or nutritional data on your MyFitnessPal or Google or Fat Secret or whatever app or way you choose to look up your calories and protein, you look at those two things, calories and protein. So I look for the 10-to-1 ratio. What does that mean? For every 10 calories, it needs to have 1 gram of protein. For every 10 calories, it needs to have 1 gram of protein. Example, if the food that I'm going to eat has 150 calories, how much protein should it have in it if I'm picking protein first? What should I try to target?
15.
Correct.
About 15 grams of protein?
Yep. 150 calories should have 15 grams of protein.
Yep.
So I'm going to share with you that when I first started this journey 10 years ago, I didn't know that. I hadn't created that rule. And I would pick up food and I would look up the nutritional data and it would say it had 190 calories and 4 grams of protein. Oh, it was the first time that I was actually looking at nutritional data to see protein in any food, and it had 4 grams of protein, so I thought, that's protein first. Well, then I had a doctor's goal of how much protein I needed to hit per day. Does anybody know what their doctor's goal is for them on protein daily?
90 grams.
90 grams.
60 to 80.
60 to 80. Anybody else? Okay. So what we typically see, it varies by doctor and it varies by surgical type. But majority live in a minimum of 60 grams and a maximum of 120. Right? Just, again, depending on your surgeon and depending on your surgical type. So what I found was I was picking all of these things that had 4 grams of protein, 8 grams of protein, but they weren't 10-to-1. So I would hit my protein goal, but I would go way over my maximum calorie goal. Huh. And guess what that meant?
Weight gain.
That you weren't losing. Yeah, you weren't losing the weight
that
you wanted.
That I wasn't losing weight. Okay. So therefore, Banded Wendy, that's me, I came up with the 10-to-1 protein rule for myself. And it was a hard, fast, steady rule. So if I had to hit, if I ate 600 calories, then I had 60 grams of protein. If I ate 1,000 calories, then I had eaten 100 grams of protein. Okay? And then guess what happened? I was hitting my doctor's protein goal, and I was staying in his calorie range. So what was the result?
You were losing weight.
Yes. Okay?
Awesome.
So now when I say to you, what does protein first mean, what comes to the top of your head?
Weight. Lose weight.
Lose weight. How? What does protein first mean?
10-to-1.
Yes. Bravo. Everybody have that?
Yes. and calories equal 1 gram of protein.
4 1-gram of protein.
4 1, yeah.
10 to 1. So if it has 200 calories and 10 proteins, am I going to eat it?
No.
No.
No. Say it loud and say it proud. No.
Nope.
So you're going to learn real quick by using that rule how to create change. And you can all send me an email or come back here again to our next call and tell me you were right, Wendy. Right? So that's a big one. So let's talk a little bit about peanut butter. Peanut butter is not 10 to 1. And I think the second or third ingredient in peanut butter is sugar.
Right.
So I, and it's also a trigger food for a lot of people. So my surgeon didn't recommend peanut butter. Has anybody's surgeon recommended peanut butter?
No, I haven't had my surgery yet, but I was told to stay away from it.
Yeah.
My surgeon didn't say no. They said it is a possible breakfast, but it's really measured. And like you said, it's probably not worth it.
And did they say that you could eat peanut butter as your breakfast?
No, they said a whole grain toast with a little bit of peanut butter would be okay for breakfast.
Okay, there you go.
But it's not
fiber.
That they were recommending, right? And high, but like you said, it's tricky because you're not getting that much protein and you're running the risk of going overboard because very few of us can stop at a tablespoon of peanut butter.
And or we haven't trained ourselves to actually get the tablespoon out and use the tablespoon for the peanut butter.
Too. That too. That probably right. Even worse than that.
So for the person who was authentic and shared the peanut butter, this is not a shame game. There's no judgment here, right? This is about educating and talking through. Have you currently had weight loss surgery?
No.
I am scheduled for mine on the 27th of this month, right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. So are you the gal who said you eat peanut butter?
No, that was me.
No.
This is Debbie.
Debbie, have you had weight loss surgery yet?
No, I go on Friday the 9th.
Okay. So there you go. So I would encourage you to talk to your bariatric surgeon, your nutritionist, your dietitian, and talk to them about peanut butter.
Okay, I meet with them on Thursday the 8th.
Okay. When you meet with them, ask them what their thoughts are about eating peanut butter.
Okay.
As a protein. Okay. There are a lot of alternatives. A lot of people use PB2, which is a powdered format of peanut butter, and you can get 45 calories for 5 proteins. And it tastes just like peanut butter, and you can throw that in a shake, and you save yourself a lot of calories and a lot of fat and still get the protein that's actually in the peanut butter without all the sugar and the calories, okay?
Yeah.
So we covered protein first, and everybody's got a lot of insight into what protein first means, so that's good, and you got your 10 to 1 to take away. One of the things I did not hear from the group was water intake. How do you create change? Water.
Lots of water.
How many people drink only water now?
I do.
I drink a cup of coffee in the morning, and then I drink water the rest of the day.
Okay, so we got a coffee.
And I drink water throughout the day. But there's 2 or 3 bottles where I'll add Crystal Light into it.
Okay. So you drink water all day with a little bit of Crystal Light here and there. Okay. Is anybody drinking soda? Beer?
No.
Wine?
No.
Fruit?
No, I don't drink alcohol, and I gave up soda 5 years ago.
Okay.
That's good.
So what do you know about water as far as your body intake and water, your body composition in water?
Keeps you hydrated.
Well, it should be, your intake of water should be half your body weight.
Okay. Is that something your surgeon told you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Your body is 90% water. And the average person who's just waking up and living their normal life loses 10 cups of water per day.
Wow.
Holy cow. 10 cups. So 10 cups times 8 ounces in a cup, that's 80 ounces of water you lose just waking up, breathing, and living your normal life. Who has a goal from their doctor for how much water they should consume?
96 ounces.
The minimum is 64 ounces is the minimum.
Okay, so I heard 64 up to 96.
Yep.
Great. And so if I'm drinking 64 ounces of water a day, that's 8 cups of water. And I lose 10 cups of water a day just breathing, living, and walking around. Am I going to be dehydrated?
Yes.
It's pretty close to it.
Yeah. Right? So water, why is water important? Why do you think it's important to create change?
Flushes out your system for you. All the
flushes out that system. Sure. When you start eating protein first and eating little amounts of protein at the same time, which we'll talk a little bit about that, your body's going to start burning fat. Isn't that exciting? Everybody's
yes.
got some fat to burn on the call, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, sister. Okay? So when we start eating protein and we eliminate all the nasty carbohydrates that we've been filling our bodies with, your body will start changing the chemistry inside to burn fat. And so what helps to get that fat out is to help drink the water, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And have you ever noticed, has anyone ever been dehydrated? What do you think happens when you get dehydrated? What's one of the first signs of dehydration? Anybody know?
A headache.
Dizziness.
I heard a headache. What was the other one?
Dizziness.
Dizziness?
Yes.
Hunger. Yes.
That's the one I was looking for. False hunger. What do you do if you feel hunger? What's your normal plan of attack? If you're hungry, what do you do?
Drink water.
Well, you tend to want to eat, but,
Well, let's tell the truth. When you're hungry, what do?
You eat.
You want to eat.
Yes. So if you're walking around dehydrated and you feel hunger, what are you going to do?
Drink
some water.
Yep.
You're learning quick, guys. I like it. I like it. You're telling me what I want to hear. But the reality is, if you don't realize that you need to drink the water, that fluid intake is how you create change, and you're walking around dehydrated, you're going to be eating. And it's not true hunger. It's dehydration, right? That's my point.
Okay.
So my goal for you is that you walk away from this conversation and you stay hydrated and you realize that if you get a sign of hunger, if you feel hunger at any point, you ask yourself, am I hungry or am I thirsty? You follow me?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I've been carrying around this bottle of water with me all day, and I've taken one sip out of it, but I've ate 700 calories today. Huh.
How can I still be hungry?
How can I still be hungry, right? Because I haven't drank any water. I'm dehydrated. Okay? So ask yourself, am I hungry or am I thirsty? And check in with yourself about your water. Make sense?
Yes.
Makes lots of sense.
Good. The next piece, let's talk about portion control. How much we eat. Why does that matter to create change for weight loss?
Because when you have your, after the surgery, your stomach is a lot smaller. You get full a lot faster. You don't want to overeat and stretch out your stomach again because the tool will be useless if it's stretched back out.
She's my new best friend. Say that again. Say it again exactly like you did so everybody can hear you. I'm not kidding. It's powerful.
Oh. Well, after your surgery, you want to make sure that you eat less portions because your stomach is smaller. And the more, if you eat more, it stretches out your stomach and your tool is useless.
Right.
Thank you. Did everybody hear that?
Yep.
Yes.
He's correct.
Okay. So who's in charge of that portion control?
We are.
In charge of keeping that new stomach?
Ourselves.
Control? You are.
Yep. Ourselves.
Yes.
You are, right? So here's the thing. Your stomach, regardless of what type of surgery you're having, it's tissue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're surgically altering our bodies, and by doing that, we're all going to create some type of new stomach, stoma, pouch, right?
Yes.
And over time, that really tiny little new stomach that you have, just like any skin, any type of tissue, if you keep filling it up past capacity, what happens? It stretches.
It stretches.
Stretches, yeah.
Right? Just think about your body. When I weighed 270 pounds, my skin stretched out to hold that 270 pounds.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, when I weigh 145 pounds, I still have all that skin, right? It doesn't shrink just because I lose weight.
It would be nice if it did, though, wouldn't it?
You use that kind of visual with your stomach. If you fill it up over time with more food than it should actually have, it's going to stretch out just like your body has stretched out in obesity. It's tissue, too. So it's a real thing. Even though you can't see inside your stomach every day, you know, you can't see inside internally your body to see if it's stretching or not, you control it by how big your portions are. Make sense?
Yes.
Yep.
And it doesn't shrink back. Just like your skin on the outside doesn't shrink back all the way, neither will your stomach, your new stomach. Okay? So how do you control portions? What's that mean? I mean, I was an overeater. Let me just put my hand up here and say that I came from a family who never had leftovers, and my father's speed of eating is like lightning speed, and that's how I learned how to eat. We always had plenty of food, but you better eat fast because Dad's going to eat it all. You know, if you want more, you better eat as fast as Dad. Anybody live like that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does that resonate with anybody?
I can totally relate.
Yep, me too.
So I my speed of eating was like, you ate so much and it was delicious. And then you realize, oh, I'm in pain. I ate too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So speed of eating is something that I know caused my obesity because I was always overeating. I could eat a whole large pizza by myself, hands down, don't even, not a question, right?
Oh.
I haven't done that in over 10 years, thank God, but I used to be able to eat a whole large pizza by myself. So how do I create change? How do I go from eating a whole large pizza by myself to controlling portions? What does that look like? How does somebody do that? How do I create that change?
A smaller plate, smaller utensils.
Great, great advice. Yes, absolutely. Go invest in smaller plates, even if they're paper plates. I don't care. Smaller plates, smaller utensils. What else?
Portion size.
Portion size. Tell me what that means to you.
A handful, cupful,
Okay. Handfuls, cupfuls.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can do that visually, or they think they can, right?
I can't.
Everybody here has probably been on a diet at some point in their life, right?
Many yo-yo and diets, so, yes.
And so we've all looked at, like, the inside palm of your hand, the right size, your thumb equates to one size of something else. Like, there's a lot of these visual ways that you can guesstimate portion size.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are to hit that minimum of 60 to 120 grams of protein,
measure.
How are we going to know how much protein we're actually eating if we're guesstimating?
You're not.
We're not.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you a little tip. If your surgeon has never shared this with you, I'd be surprised. But you need to weigh and measure. What does that mean, weigh and measure? Somebody tell me what that sounds like to them.
I mean, it's like the scale. They have a scale.
Yeah.
Food scale. Yes. How many people on the call currently have a food scale?
I do.
No, I don't. I don't.
I don't.
I do.
Get one.
I have one.
So I'm hearing about 50-50. I have the exact same food scale I bought 10 years ago. And I've replaced the batteries several times, but I still have that same food scale. So you can go on Amazon, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, you're going to spend somewhere between $14 and $30 probably for a food scale that will last you 10 years, minimum. Once you buy that food scale, where do you put it?
Somewhere you can see it.
I would think in the cabinet right near your food. Yeah.
Mine's on my kitchen counter.
Yep.
So I heard somewhere you can see it and someplace close to your food.
Yep.
Right? And I heard kitchen counter.
Yep. Yep.
That's the best way to do it. Don't put it up in the top cabinet behind the cheese grater in the far corner of your kitchen. That's not going to work. I'll tell you that right now.
Nope.
And then you have to use it. Yep. So you come in from work at night, the kids are screaming at you, the husband's late, your check engine light came on your car when you were driving home, it's pouring rain, and you didn't have a jacket, and you walk in, and the dog pooped on the floor while you were gone.
Oh,
but you're starving. What do you do?
Reach for the scale.
Good answer. Now I want you to tell me when you do that. That's my ask for you. When life is giving you a shit show, pardon the French, and you need to eat, you're going to pull out your scale first. Did you guys all hear that? She said she's going to check.
Yes.
So whatever life throws at you, you got to do what's right for you.
Uh-huh. She's right. But those are going to be the challenges you face. Those are going to be the challenges you face, right? And specifically with somebody who has any of those events that cause high stress, and somebody who knows they're an emotional eater. Because
that
I can tell
me.
You when you're high stress and you're an emotional eater, the last thing you're going to think to do is pull out that scale to get your protein first. You believe me?
Yep, I sure do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the answer she gave is 100% correct. Pull out your scale. The action that you take in that moment, doing what's right for you, she said, right? That is going to be how you create change. You follow me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. The next piece of how do you create change for weight loss, you guys talked about it earlier, regular exercise. What is that? How many people currently on the phone that are pre-op exercise regularly?
Daily walking. I do.
I do walking and bike riding. That's the exercise that I do.
Okay. And I heard someone say they do it daily. That's my next question is, what's consistent exercise? What's regular exercise mean for you? Somebody said daily.
30-minute walk.
30-minute walk. How many times a day? How many days a week?
Once a day, anywhere between 3 and 5 days a week.
Okay. And is that in line with your surgeon's goal for regular exercise for you?
No, that's just what just current is right now.
Okay. What's your surgeon's goal? Do you know yet?
No, I go Thursday before my surgery on Friday, and we'll be going over all these questions with him, so I'll know all my answers on Thursday.
Perfect. 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 They're going to tell you, you want to make sure you get that regular exercise one checked off, right? What do I have to do around regular exercise to be successful at this surgical procedure, doctor? Right? That's what you want to ask.
Okay.
So is there anybody on the phone that's a post-op that could tell me about regular exercise? What does it mean to you, post-op patient?
Well, for me, it's daily. This is Becky. My doctor told me when I talked to him about having surgery, he said, if you're not planning on exercising 30 minutes a day, he said, don't bother. You'll just gain it back. And that stuck with me.
That's
there
good.
You go.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
Very good.
And he was a very direct and honest doctor. No sugarcoating this one.
Nope.
Right? So, and each doctor is going to have a different guideline. My doctor was the same. My doctor said you need to exercise on purpose 210 minutes a week. So I'm like, okay, well, there's 7 days in the week. 210 divided by 7, 30 minutes a day.
Yep.
I need to exercise on purpose 30 minutes a day. That's how I did it, right? Some people chose to look at it as 45 minutes a day, 4 days a week, right? So you want to make sure you know what your doctor's guidelines are, and then how do you follow that? How do you create change? Is there anybody who's not exercising at all?
Me.
It's okay if you're not, because most people who are pre-op are not exercising at all.
I'm more or less bedridden.
Say that again?
I am more or less bedridden.
Okay. So anytime you're the gal who's having the
bathroom
surgery, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my challenge for you would be to find out, what can I do in my bed that equates to exercise? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I did not. That's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot. You go to YouTube, and there's all kinds types of exercises that you can do on purpose in your bed.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Nope. Never heard of that.
So how do you create change? Regular exercise is a piece of this journey. And so what we heard earlier, right, we want to say, what can I do? Right? What can I do around regular exercise?
Yeah.
Right? We go back to mindset. What can I do? The last piece of this is personal accountability. What does that mean to you? How do you create change with personal accountability?
Because it's all up to you. You're the one who has to do it.
Yep. No one can do it for you.
That's right.
Overwhelming response of yes, you have it right, ladies. And there may be some gents out there too. But personal accountability means it's up to me.
Yep.
How does that make you feel?
You know, honestly, that makes me feel excited. I'm really excited about this. Yes.
Good. I like that.
Now, I'm excited about it, but it really scares me.
Tell me why. Why does it scare you?
I want to be able to get to the point where I know I'm going to be much more confident post-op than where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to build on that. I'm afraid that if I don't take accountability for my own actions, I'm going to go right back to where I am, you know, prior to the surgery.
Yeah.
I need to get myself 100% focused to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's another reason why I'm at the support group, because I need to get there.
Uh-huh. And guess what happens after you get there?
Does it get easier?
It never gets easy, never, but it will get easier, yes. But the amount of time that it takes for it to get easier for you,
Melanie,
I can't tell you what that time frame is. It's going to be different, just like our fingerprints are all different.
Right.
It's going to be different for you than it was for me. But once you get there, you have to work and stay there. Right? It doesn't just stick. The same amount of work you do to get there, you're going to need to do the same amount of work to stay there. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yes. And I can tell you, 3 days post-op, I was taking a walk, bawling my eyes out, buyer's remorse. I did the wrong thing. I'm not going to be successful. I had self-doubt. I didn't know if I had done the right thing and it was going to be any different. Because I still waking up in my same bed, sitting in the same chair in the living room, going to the same job, living with the same boyfriend, walking the same dog, going to the same grocery store, talking to my same friend. Right?
See, that's totally how I'm thinking right now. Everything that you had just said is how I feel I'm going to feel afterwards, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And that's why it scares me.
Yeah.
You're a
and you'll
yeah.
have to make a choice, right?
Because I know there's many people out there where they, you know, pre-op, where they say, my mind's set, I'm 100%, you know, into this, which I am too. And then come to find out where they did struggle post-op until they got to where they needed to be.
I think everybody will probably struggle because it's something new for you. You have to learn by the experience.
Correct.
You know, it's not going to come, like, right to you. So it will be a struggle for every one of us. I just think that it's exciting to know that it's going to be a change. I'm always excited about change, and it's going to make myself better. That's my main goal, is to make myself better. That's why it's exciting for me.
So you guys heard me make that description of how I felt, right?
Yes.
I can tell you that was March 26th of 2009, the way I felt, exactly. And here it is, November 3rd of 2018. And I can tell you exactly how I feel. I felt 10 years ago. Because it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Right? But I made it through. Because all the things that we've talked about today, I have made every single effort, every single day to do it. To create the change that I want to see and I want to be.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for that change. Right? So we're almost out of time here. Since we got started late, I've ran a little bit late. I want you to think about these questions regardless of where you are on the journey, regardless if you're pre-op or you're a post-op. Why change? Write that down. Answer that question for yourself every day. Why change? Why change? Okay? And then how? How do I change? How do I change? And think about your daily action plan, your DAP, D-A-P, because your daily action plan is going to be where you create the change that produces results. It's not going to be praying. It's not going to be wishing. It's not going to be hoping. It's not going to be thinking. It's going to be about doing. You're going to have to do it. If you're not doing it, nothing will change. You follow me?
Yes, definitely.
Yep, 100%.
Who's in charge of the change? Who has to change? You do. The next question you need to ask yourself is, what stands in my way? If I'm in charge of the change, and it's about me doing these new habits that I know I can do, what's standing in my way?
Herself.
You're going to have to ask yourself, why am I not losing weight? Why am I gaining weight? Why am I not picking protein first? Why am I not drinking my water and staying hydrated? Why am I not using a scale or a measuring cup? Why am I not controlling my portions? Why am I not finding some type of exercise to do consistently? Why am I not practicing personal accountability? And I guarantee every single one of us is going to run into one of those situations and we're going to have to say, gee, I'm not doing that. Why not? Okay, so what stands in your way? Because who can remove what's standing in your way?
Only we can.
Only you can. That's right. Right? And then ask yourself, when? I see what's standing in my way. When am I going to start doing something about it? When am I going to take personal accountability for what stands in my way and create change? That's
now.
The next question you're going to ask yourself. What'd you say?
Now.
Now. Start now. Start today, this very moment in this call, right? In the moment when you ask yourself to change. What stands in my way? And you realize what it is, start right then. Don't wait till Monday. Don't wait till January 2nd. Don't wait until you feel like it. Now. Right? The moment you realize what needs to change. And last but not least, you're going to need support. And if people can't support you, weed your garden. Get rid of them. I can tell you this, the friends list that I have today is not the same as it was 10 years ago. Okay?
Yeah.
So support, education. That's why people who are post-op are here. It's why I teach do these support groups and teach the classes that we have at WLS Success Matters, because education matters. Mm-hmm. You can't have 6 months or 2 weeks or 6 weeks pre-op and think that that's it, that you're done learning, that you're done needing education. You're going to need a continuing education. You're never going to stop learning on this journey, right? And work with somebody who's been successful. Work with somebody who is a bariatric coach like myself. Work with your nutritionist. Work with your doctor. Work with your dietitian. Work with a personal trainer. Work with a mental health professional to deal with whatever is holding you back. Okay? So what are you taking away from today? Somebody, what are you taking away?
I'm definitely going to get a scale to measure my portion size.
Excellent. Good. What else? What are you taking away?
And one.
And a one. It'll be your favorite best friend. You'll tell everybody you know about it, and they'll all say, oh, that makes sense. And then they'll try it, and they'll start losing weight, and you'll be like their hero.
Yeah.
I promise.
There you go.
What else?
Well, just in general on how we need to create that change overall and breaking everything down to, you know, just do it.
Yeah, once you know what you need to do, then you have to figure out how to do it, right? And then you just need to put into motion the daily action plans and stay consistent, stay supported, stay educated, stay accountable, and never give up. And when you're struggling and you can't figure out what stands in your way or how to change it, then you better call us up and get on board with us, because that's what we do. We help people create change, and we keep them accountable, right? So it is 9:11. I have loved this chat today. I'm so thankful that you all were patient with me with the technical difficulties. I do apologize for being delayed to get started. Our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. We've been doing this a long time. We do these support groups for free twice a month. We also have educational programs that you can join from anywhere in the world and participate with us on a daily basis. We have some great programs. We have a cookbook. We do retreats at various locations. Our next one will be in June, beginning of June, in Denver, Colorado. If you don't have our cookbook, you should. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can look at it on our website to understand more about it, or even buy it on the website as well. So with that said, we will hope to see you again or chat with you again or have you come join us. Don't wait until you're in a place where you need help. There are so many pre-op patients on here. Join us today. We have a group that is starting November 6th. That will run through December 31st. It's called Hanging Through the Holidays. You can find out about it on our website. It's $99 for 9 weeks of support, education, and coaching that you can access anywhere, anytime, 24/7 a day. And it's how we get through the holidays as weight loss surgery patients. And if you're a brand new weight loss surgery patient and this is your first holiday season as a post-op, I highly encourage you to invest the $99. It'll change your life. So with that said, thanks for being here. If you need to go, go right ahead. I'm going to be here for about 15 more minutes until 9:30. I do want to answer the gal who was nervous and how she's going to feel about afterwards, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And then any other questions you might have that weren't related to our support group topic, I'm happy to chat with you about those as well. So if you need to go, have a fantastic Saturday. If you want to stay, we're here for another 15 minutes. Sound good?
Sounds good. I know I'm staying.
Okay. So for the gal who wasn't sure how she was going to feel afterwards as a post-op patient, how do you feel now as we talk through things? How did that impact your thinking?
I'm a little bit more at ease now with talking and finding out different things, and I have different roads and paths that I can go down now where I had blinders on before.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You're being authentic. That's so important. Don't fool yourself. I'm like, you know, the reason I created the 10-to-1 rule and I had to stand by that 110% is because I'd lost the same 100 pounds 3 times before I had weight loss surgery. And
Oh my God, you sound like me.
Yeah. And my profession is sales and marketing, so I'm really good at selling things. And I am the best salesperson inside my head. Right? So it was way too easy for me to pick that item that had 190 calories and 4 grams of protein because it still had protein in it. That's inside my head, right?
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't working. That I needed to create change. And so the 10-to-1 rule became hard and fast. If it was not 10-to-1 for the first 3 years post-op, I did not eat it.
And I still live by that rule. And I've maintained my weight loss for almost 10 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the piece of that is because I couldn't have the blinders on. I had to be authentic. I had to see what was going on, and I could not allow myself to self-sabotage and or convince and or sell myself that even though this choice wasn't protein first, or even though this choice meant I wasn't going to get to work my 30 minutes of exercise into my day, or even if this choice meant I wasn't drinking enough water in the day, or even if this choice meant I wasn't weighing and measuring my portion, I had to tell myself that those weren't acceptable. I could not allow myself to say it was okay to make those choices. I had to make myself say, no, this is what I want. This is what I need to do. It's freaking hard. It sucks sometimes. I'm not happy about it, but I refuse to be who I was before, because that's the act of insanity. If I continue to do the same things I used to do, I'm not going to get any different results.
Right.
Right? And if I think that I'm going to get results from doing what I used to do, then I'm just freaking crazy, and I need to go see a mental health professional, end of the day. Right? And so, yeah. So, you know, I had to create change, and I'm the only person that could convince myself and sell myself on the fact that that change mattered more than anything.
Now, with that change, when you realized what you need to eat and not eat and be able to move forward, this is going to maybe be too much information, or I don't even know how to pronounce it. Like, I'm fearing that if I eat the wrong thing and not realizing that it was the wrong thing, that I'm going to be in the bathroom all the time.
Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to make an educated decision before you make a choice. So, you know, I don't know what the wrong thing is. If you're picking protein first, it's not going to be the wrong thing.
Okay.
So give me an example. Are you having gastric bypass or duodenal switch?
I'm doing the full gastric bypass.
Okay. So you're concerned about sugar and fat?
Yes.
So your surgeon, most people can't eat more than 7 grams of sugar without dumping.
Okay.
But there's a very, 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 very small percentage of all gastric bypass patients who do not dump. You won't know until you know.
Okay.
But some people actually do not get the benefit of dumping as gastric bypass, but the majority of them do. My husband is 16 years post-op gastric bypass. He lost 303 pounds and has maintained his weight loss all those years. He is my hero. And my mother-in-law is 13 years post-op gastric bypass, and she lost 150 pounds and has maintained about 120 pounds of that loss for the last 13 years.
Awesome.
So that's why you have to make a choice, and fat can be tricky. you think that you make sure you get the lean ground beef. Don't buy the cheap crap that's 85-15 or that 80-20 stuff, because it could have too much fat in it, saturated fat. That's what you're going to be concerned about, saturated fat.
Okay.
But, you know, you're going to learn, you know, so you won't maybe end up in the bathroom, but you may be laying down on the couch, you know, sweating and thinking you're going to die. But you'll make it through, right? You'll be okay, and you'll survive, and hopefully it's like a 2x4 hitting you upside the head and you don't do it again.
Right, exactly. Now,
do you recall
what your discomfort was like after the surgery?
Yeah, you're gonna have pain, right? So they're gonna give you pain medicine, and you're going to need to take that pain medicine as instructed. And you're going to need to follow all your doctor's post-op instructions. A lot of people have pain in the shoulder, because of the air that they use to blow up your stomach to be, you know, blow you up so they can actually go in there and do laparoscopic surgery. So you're going to need to burp. You're going to need to fart and to get that gas out of your system. So walking, even getting up every hour for 5 minutes and just walking around my backyard is what
okay.
I do. But you're having surgery, and with the gastric bypass, you're rerouting your intestines. You're going to have 1,000 staples in your body. Your body's going to need to heal. You know, if you think about when you get a cut or a scratch, or if you've ever had stitches, you know, it doesn't heal overnight. It's a process.
Is it going to hurt when you go to the bathroom?
More than likely, because you're going to use your stomach muscles to be able to go to the bathroom. So it will more than likely do that. Yeah, but you probably won't go to the bathroom for several days.
Okay.
Wendy, this is Becky.
But,
I know these are, like, I don't mean to be asking these type of questions, and I know this is more like for the nutrition value and everything. I'm just curious as to, you know, the post-op stuff.
Yeah,
Wendy,
and
I had on why, and surprisingly, I mean, it's not that it's pain-free, but it's not, I mean, I'm assuming they're doing it laparoscopically, and for me, it wasn't nearly as bad as I had anticipated.
Okay.
I mean, it was uncomfortable. I mean, definitely there is pain.
Oh, right.
I was just assuming it was going to be like having major abdominal cuts, and it wasn't in that category.
I think that's what I'm assuming too. You know, is it going to be actually as bad as what I'm thinking?
Right. It's not a slam dunk, but I was shocked at how little pain as opposed to what my head told me it was going to be.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can have all these thoughts and these worries. It's like people are worried about scars. If you're worried about scars, don't have weight loss surgery.
No, I'm not worried about
right?
that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, don't pain is going to be there. It's going to be managed with medication. Within 3 days, you're going to start to feel better. Within 5 days, you're going to feel better. Within 2 weeks, you're going to feel like, wow, I feel a lot better. And 6 weeks into it, you're going to be like, that was nothing, right? Because that
uh-huh.
was nothing, and I've lost 30 pounds. So the pain for the benefit, the benefit way far outweighs the pain. And you'll have plenty of medication to take care of the pain. So the pain is really not a big thing. And what's interesting is a lot of weight loss surgery patients, myself included, end up having reconstructive surgery after they've lost all their weight and maintained their weight loss for a significant amount of time. And you think, oh, I can do anything. I had weight loss surgery. The level of pain that I went through reconstructive surgery was 10,000 times worse than weight loss surgery.
Oh, damn.
Weight loss surgery is nothing. You'll be okay. And it's fine to ask those questions. These are what you're thinking, for sure. But I would be thinking about, what am I going to eat post-op? What am I going to drink post-op? Do I have all those things in my house? Do I know what they are? Do I have my scale? I drank water out of a shot glass. I drank broth out of a shot glass that my husband said, this is what you're using to drink your 1 ounce of whatever you're going to have, because that's as much as you can have right now.
Right.
So have those little mini tools available for you. Have everything you need on hand. And just follow the rules post-op that your surgeon gave you, and know that it's going to be okay. This too shall pass.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for everything.
Right? How does that make you feel? Like, you got this, right?
Yeah, a lot better.
Yeah, you got this. I have about 800 or so videos on my YouTube channel from day one, pre-op, actually. My YouTube channel is Banded Wendy. doesn't matter what kind of surgery you have or where you live in the world. I've got over 8,000 people who have followed my journey the last 10 years. So I was just like you. I watched everybody else's YouTube videos and had all those questions. So then I started documenting my own journey. And I've heard from thousands of people around the globe that my videos changed their life and helped them get through it. So if you haven't found Banded Wendy on YouTube, I highly recommend you do. I used to watch YouTube videos 5 hours a day.
So that's B-A-N-D-E-D?
Banded, B-A-N-D-E-D, Wendy, Banded Wendy.
Okay, great. I'll look that up.
Yeah, it'll make you feel like you got a best friend. We've been there, done that. So we've got a few minutes left. Who else? A lot of callers on the line. Anybody else have a thought, question, anything they want to discuss? Comment, share.
I said you did a good job.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. This is what I do.
Yep, you
this
do
is
it
what
good.
I do. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, God
Thanks
bless.
For being here. Yes. Yeah. All the best to you. We look forward to seeing you or hearing from you again, okay?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Thank you for everything. Thank you all.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Good. All right. So anything else? Everybody's done?
It's all good.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll let
yeah.
you guys go. You have a great weekend, and we look forward to hearing you and seeing you again next time, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you for everything.
You bet. You bet. My pleasure.
Bye. Bye-bye.